This is Yin Center. Another bad day in Pittsburgh sports. Ray Shiro, former general manager of the Penguins, has passed away. Also worked with the Devils. Most recently as a special advisor to Bill Guerin, the general manager of the Minnesota Wild. Our deepest condolences out there. And to New Jersey and to the Shiro family, obviously. Never met Shiro. We did get to meet one of his teams, though. We did talk about the 09 visit to the arena right before a lot of his famous trades were done. But
yes,
just to kind of go through some of these accomplishments and let's just to go back at what he has done. Drafted Jordan Staal. That's when he took over for Craig Patrick.
Also drafted Jake Guentzel and Brian Rust.
Yeah, but just so it's where you remember. It's is it 07? This was, 07.
07, I do believe. Yeah.
2006.
Because the year to really turn things around and get us back into the playoff picture.
Was drafting Jordan Staal.
And then
Malkin came over.
And then... Push for the playoffs.
He really put the Penguins back into contention status after the down years of the X generation. But it's a sad day for hockey fans. And we're going to take a look back here as we do remember some of these great Ray Shiro trades. He brought in Bill Guerin, for example, and that was a conditional pick, late pick.
Yeah.
Any help win the cup?
Brought in Marian Hossa. Sure, that one maybe didn't work out, but
I mean the Marian Hossa trade.
I was going to say the throw in the deal ended up being the biggest piece for us. So everybody's like, "Who's this Pascal Dupuis guy?" And then what goes and wins 3 Stanley Cups?
Yep, and that was for Colby Armstrong, Angelo Esposito, Eric Christensen.
I was gonna say,
in a first-round pick.
One of those guys went on to still have a pretty decent career after that trade.
Yeah.
Angelo Esposito was...
Yeah, that was a prospect good. That we gave up, and that's what happens sometimes when you give up prospects in deals. Ray Shiro, he did put together some of these great ones.
Yeah, he knew how to do it. I mean, yeah, obviously there were some bad trades thrown in there too, but... I mean,
I can't really think of him.
He went
because, like, just look at Jordan Staal's career. He drafted Jordan Staal, won the cup with them, and then got to that critical point where the salary cap was not going to allow it to keep it. I remember the rumors floated out there that the deal that he signed in Carolina was the offer that Ray Shiro put on the table for him too. It was like 10 years, like $6 million per year, 10 years, $60 million.
Yeah, but chance to play with his brother.
Yeah, he signed to play with Eric Staal.
Yeah.
And to move up into a second-line center role. Yeah,
absolutely.
Which he did look like he was – he still is a pretty very solid middle-six center.
Especially at 34 years old.
He might be on the upper side of 30s, too.
Yeah, he might be on the other side of that, yeah.
Let's take a look. Don't forget about trading Ryan Whitney.
Yeah,
for Chris Kunitz and Eric Tangrady.
We traded for Tangrady, huh?
Yep, he was part of that. He was the prospect that we got a hold of. Because Ryan Whitney was still, he was a power play merchant at that point.
He was still really, really, really good at that point. And then he got to Anaheim and just started enjoying the sunshine there too much.
And, you know, still the allure of a top 5 pick. Also was behind Pronger and Niedermeyer still.
Right.
Those are two pretty big guys.
Yeah, they were pretty good too.
So, I mean, those were some of the big ones that really helped us win the cup in 2009 and really got the Penguins back to the point that, like, you are this passionate about them today. Like, I remember the Marian Hossa trade. It was like, oh, shit, because – before that, I was kind of waiting for it, and, like, we had Gary Roberts the year before, and, like, you know, we had, like, that tough veteran guy, but, like,
the
Thrashers
really...
were bad, but Marian Hossa was a guy that was, like, he was elite.
Yeah, like, we had Sid and Gino, obviously, but, like, around them forward-wise especially, we didn't really have anything.
Your best winger was probably Chris Kunitz. Armstrong.
Well, yeah. I, But like,
before the Chris Kunitz
trade. Before that trade and everything. And yeah,
we're talking
even before the Hossa trade. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, probably Colby. Like, and then all of a sudden.
That was a tough one for a lot of Penguin fans at that point. It really was. Because he was very well liked at that point in time in this area.
What year was that? Do you remember?
2008.
So, 12-year-old me was pretty broken up about it. Like, that was one of my favorite players. I loved the way he played the game. But they had all grown up together to start
making that realistic look of a potential. This team's starting to look like something.
And like you said, all those guys came in right around the same time. So it was like, yeah, that whole group has the potential. And then this guy goes. It was like,
oh. But when you got Marian Hossa, you knew you were getting, and he is a Hall of Famer.
Right. Yeah.
He is currently in the Hall of Fame.
Rightfully so, obviously. But
like,
I just wish he would have stayed, man. I just wish he would have stayed. I'm sure things would not have worked out for us the next year.
Maybe it would have. But we would not have kept Brooks Orpik.
Right.
So he had to, and that was a great point there. I'm glad you brought that up because that was a very big, that was last second. Right. Marian Hossa did not sign.
Yeah.
And we were spurned for Detroit right after that. And so, you know, like he had, because Marian Hossa was 1A, let's get this done.
Yes.
Top option. Like, yes. Let's go. And then if he does, then if he would have signed, it would have looked a lot different on the back end. There was a lot of guys with expiring deals.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Most notably, like, Brooks Orpik.
Yeah. Now, obviously, he did go Rob Scuderi. But,
well, he was coming up at that in the near future, Rob was. But you know, he left after 09. Had a very successful Kings tenure, too. But... you know, there were tough decisions that did have to be made, and
right,
you know, he navigated it very well.
Yeah, as disheartening as it was for childhood me, it worked out in the end for childhood
because it didn't look good at first.
Yeah, because we were starting. Marian Hossa's not re-signing. You're like, fuck, wait, what?
And we had Terry and still coaching, and then everything went down. Right. Then we visited,
and then, like, a week later, Dan Bylsma was in the building.
Ryan Whitney was traded.
Yep. All those trades we just talked about, pretty much.
Yep, the Bill Guerin one.
Yeah.
Was Hal Gill brought in, or was he a free agent signing?
I think Hal Gill was brought in from, I can't remember.
I feel like it was a Nashville team.
That's what I thought. I thought it was a trade from Nashville. But Ray Shearer was also responsible for the James Neal and Patrick Hornquist trade. Oh, no.
Yes, he was.
Yes.
No, he was responsible for bringing
James Neal in the first place, which then in turn helped us land Patrick Hornquist.
Let's see. After he left, after Marian Hossa left, mm-hmm. here are some of the free agents that he brought in that kind of helped out.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Miro Satan.
Okay, yep.
Ruslan Fedotenko. Yep. 1 year, 3.5 for Satan. 1 year, 2.5 for Fedotenko. Mm-hmm. Matt Cook.
Yeah.
2 years.
Man, and those were some hard to play against guys. Like
Cookie. Eric Goddard.
Right.
And this was after, you know, he lost Hossa, lost Yarko Ruutu. Remember Yarko Ruutu? So George Laroque left.
I'm going to say, you've already replaced those guys, though.
He also signed Jani Pessin in that offseason.
Jani Pessin.
Yeah.
I don't remember him playing at all.
He did not, I don't think. But some other deals. Daryl Sador was traded for Philippe Boucher.
Yep.
Matthew Garon was brought in as a backup because Ty Conklin left.
Yep.
Which got rid of Danny Sabourin in that deal. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the ones that helped bring the 08-09 team in. And into the future, too, you know, the next couple years, James Neal and Matt Niskanen from Dallas for Alex Goligoski.
Yeah.
Goligoski, very solid player, but we got two very, very solid players in return.
Honestly, it worked out for, I mean, I would say it worked out for both sides.
Yeah, because then we eventually, Jimmy Rutherford dealt Neil for Hornquist, and we know where that led us. How about this one? A seventh round pick in 2012, the 2013 run.
Mm-hmm.
For Thomas Vokoun.
Yeah, and he was really good for us.
He saved Fleury.
Yeah.
He saved Fleury that one
really
season.
Really good for us, yeah.
Jordan Staal, remember he got that? We got down to that contract, and then he had to trade him. We got Dumoulin.
Brian Dumoulin, yeah.
And the first round pick, a top 10 pick. We took Derek Pouliot, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, hey, you at least had the pick.
I was going to say.
You could have taken Philip Forsberg, which I think they should have done. But, you know, we're not here to critique anything too harshly. But he also got Brandon Sutter, too, who, you know, wasn't great with Pittsburgh, but also was a piece that was traded later, Nick Bonino.
I was going to say, he set us up again for the future, even at the end of his tenure here, so.
Then how can we forget the 2013 night when he brought in Jerome Iginla?
Mm-hmm.
That, I won't forget that.
Bruins have acquired Jerome Iginla.
And then
Just kidding, it was the Penguins.
And then we get the Penguin text alert. That was at like 12:30 at night because I was refreshing. I was up at the Rock, Slippery Rock, like refreshing all this like crazy.
Yeah, that was.
And we got him.
Crazy.
So this is just the 2012 season, like where Jordan Staal was traded. And then we traded Zdeněk Mikhalik after that bad deal.
Yeah.
You know, hey, he made some bad ones, made some good ones. Paul Martin, another good signing that he made.
Yeah,
in the cup year, in the non-cup years, in the middle there, where we kind of wished for better.
But Martin was always a very good, steady defenseman.
Here we go. I love this trade deadline. This 2013. This was winning the trade deadline, and the kind of the follow-up, the first part before it here. Eric Tangrady had to be shipped off in 2013 in February for a seventh round pick. Kind of start clearing the decks a little bit.
Yeah.
Ben Lovejoy shipped off a week before that to Anaheim for a fifth rounder.
Yeah.
Ray Shiro was not afraid to do that. It was acquire draft picks in the season as well for roster players, just as a note for those critiquing Dubas at any point.
Right.
So then he clears the decks a little bit with these. Carl Sneap as well was traded in January. You know, all these AHL contracts, right? Doesn't seem like much, but it all does lead to this. Traded Joe Morrow to Dallas along with a fifth round pick in exchange for Brendan Morrow, who was the captain of the Stars at the time.
Yep.
And we got a third as well.
Yep.
We needed to shore up the defense a little bit, though, still, right? It was still a little rusty. Still missing that defensive presence we lost since Hal Gill had to move on.
Yep.
And we got crankshaft Douglas Murray.
Fuck yeah, man.
For 2 second round picks.
Yeah.
1-13 and 1-14.
Dude, Douglas Murray was so goddamn big.
Then there was Jussi Jokinen acquired for a conditional late round pick.
Yeah, he was.
Jussi Jokinen was a very nice piece to have on this team.
He was very fun to watch.
And then the big one. Well, Jussi Jokinen was after the big one, but we'll get to the big one here. Penguins acquiring Jerome Iginla for a first-round pick in the 2013 draft, Kenny Agostino, and Ben Hanowski, which...
Who was the first-round pick in 2013?
Well... Kenny Agostino played 86 games.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew he wasn't much.
8 goals and 22 assists.
Yeah.
Ben Hanowski played 16 games.
Right.
All of them with the Flames.
Okay. Yeah.
And let's see who the 2013 pick ended up being. I have to do some digging on this. Do you have any guesses who the 2013 pick might have been? Morgan Klimchuk, who has gone on to play exactly one NHL game.
Okay. Then, was it for Winnipeg?
No, that was theirs. That was Calgary at 28 from Pittsburgh.
I just wasn't sure if he played that game for Winnipeg or not.
No, it was for Calgary.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Well,
so all the bad players, all of our bad players, for all of their good players, hey. We've seen it before, right? And, you know, we won the trade deadline that year. That was the coolest thing ever, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
It was the shortened lockout season, too.
Yeah.
So we were, like, all starved for anything that we could get. And, yeah. like, the season just started, and then we had to turn around and
go to
get more deadline. Players.
Yeah.
But just a wild, great draft, great trade deadline, the most fun. Oh, Richard Park had just left the team, too. That was a trap. That sucked. Mm,
yeah.
It didn't really.
For the vibes.
Yeah, ultimately they did end up getting swept by Boston in the conference finals, but that was
that really hurt. That was a bad time.
But not also, but also in this draft, Olli Maatta at 22, Teddy Bluger at 52, Oscar Sundqvist at 81, Matt Murray at 83. So like he's still hitting.
Yeah, he still hit.
He's hitting on them draft picks.
That's what I mean, dude. He's still set us up for the future, even right at the end of his tenure.
Like, even the year before, draft before, Josh Archibald and Scott Wilson in the last two rounds.
Scott Wilson, two-time Stanley Cup champion.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. Like these little guys that you kind of forget about. Tom Kuhnhackl was in the Brian mm-hmm. Rust draft.
Yep. Yeah, it just goes to show the knack that he had, man, and still had up until the end, just like with working with the Wild still and Billy Guerin. Like.
And what's amazing, too, and I think what he's really helped the Wild with this season and with Bill Guerin probably a lot, they have all that dead cap with Parise and Suter's cap hits,
yeah,
buyouts.
They still have, what, three more years on those?
At least.
Yeah.
But it gets less. This is the last year. Yeah, it's like they're $7 million a piece. And like they got $14+ million in dead cap and
yeah. Yeah, it's not good. And they're still a damn good team. So imagine
he also one more trade that he made, move on to the Devils.
Yeah.
Adam Larson for Taylor Hall.
Taylor Hall.
And then Taylor Hall proceeded to have an MVP season.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, absolutely fleeced the Oilers there, which is a shame for Edmonton. Because imagine if they had a winger still like Halsey. Whoo! The team would be unstoppable. Oh, well.
Well, that was the fun part of those Oiler teams is that they were just – they weren't good.
They were mediocre.
they were really bad at drafting players.
Kind of like Buffalo is these days. Talk about being eliminated from playoffs. They're in their 14th year of being eliminated from playoffs. So don't worry, Pittsburgh fans. We still have 11 more years to deal with to beat that. And I don't think next year is going to be their year either.
No. And with that being all said, you know, we'll miss this dude. The Penguins are eliminated from Stanley Cup playoff contention officially. I'm going to keep looking through, seeing if I can find any other interesting draft picks or trades that Mr. Shiro has made in his time. Yeah, you mentioned Jake Guentzel and Tristan Jarry.
Yep.
What was the final season of Mr. Shiro's tenure? Was it the 2015? It was 2014. It was after the 2014 season, so. Because I think they lost in the second round in that. And yeah, that's when they moved on to Jimmy Rutherford.
Yeah, yeah. Again, Ray Shiro set us up for the short future.
And he even did draft Jari, too.
I mean,
to look at, you know, what he's done, but just for the amount of games he's played. I mean, he's been an NHLer, so.
He had promise at one point in his career.
There was the potential.
Yeah. There absolutely was potential for something good, but.
He also did draft the Devils, Jesper Bratt.
Yeah.
Jack Hughes, which was a 101 slam dunk. He didn't mess it up.
Right.
He didn't take Kaapo Kakko.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean.
Which was a hotly contested debate at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. And now you look at it. The Devils are running hot with Jack Hughes, and Rangers have moved on from Kaapo Kakko. So, yeah, a strange world we live in. But, hey, it is what it is.
Yep, it sucks. But, you know, that is kind of what it does kind of get me excited about overall. Like, is, you know, what he did in the offseason is why today – I am excited for what the Penguins offseason holds with this elimination already being confirmed.
Yep.
Let's take a look where the tankathon is, my man. Because the elimination happened.
Seventh.
Still seventh. And 13th with the Rangers pick. However, there's still. It's all tight. It's all tight all through there. Boston currently in the fifth spot. Philly's at 4. So, and then Seattle's also ahead of us.
Do we play either of those teams again? I don't think we do.
I do not believe that we
do. Because hopefully we can lose to them and get some points put on them. Or on us.
I don't even know when this team plays again next. Because not only, while we're looking through at this Penguins' last three games of the season.
Friday against the Devils.
Devils, we do play the Bruins.
Okay.
There is a Bruins game.
Got to lose that one, boys.
And then the Capitals. Yeah, which officially... lose. Alex Ovechkin cannot break the goal record against us.
Thank goodness.
He did that against the Islanders after looking like he might have gotten a hat trick to do it against Chicago the night before. What a rapid pace. Congratulations, Capital fans. Hey, we cheered along with you. I did, at least.
Oh, absolutely. Well, once I saw the clip, because I didn't get to watch it live, unfortunately, but... Yeah, once I saw the clip, I was very, very happy. Might have cried a little bit, not going to lie, but...
It was cool to see.
Yeah, it definitely was. And then it was really funny to watch him chirp Ilya Sorokin, thanking him for letting him score.
And now he's just going through this absolute bender of just making me like him more and more.
Bro, they have off until Thursday.
Bands make a dance.
So funny. Do we know where that came from?
Apparently, on the Spittin' Chicklets podcast, Dylan Strome was on there.
Yeah.
And he flat out said that, like, just because Jacob Chychrun was wearing a headband and somebody started singing Bands That Make Her Dance, and he just started going, Bands That Make Her Dance.
Oh, my God.
Bands That Make Her Dance.
Because I saw even, like, they walked into some club after he had scored. And he walks in, and some lady walks right up to him, hands him two beers, and they have that song playing, and he's dancing, and his wife's singing along, too, and I didn't think she knew English.
And he's just doing the little shoulder thing,
He's just doing a little shoulder and shake, or shoulder and hip shimmy, man. But, yeah, like, I didn't think I thought his wife, only spoke Russian, but she was, I watched that video, like, 3 or 4 times, and she was definitely singing the words, Bands Make Her Dance, and I was like,
Bands Make Her Dance.
Oh, okay. Like I said, I thought she really only spoke Russian, but I was wrong.
So, yeah, that's our Penguins preview for our last three games of eliminated from playoff contention hockey. At least it wasn't the last two games again, and we thought we were going to make it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
we will say about this season, the power play was what we thought it could be.
It was actually
good. And we sucked. The team defense is atrocious. And yeah, that's, and the goaltending is just as bad. So that's, yeah, that's the summary of the season. And we're excited to see what this off season holds. Looking forward to just seeing where the New York Rangers ultimately end up lying to at the end of this, where it's all said and done, because Montreal is pretty much in this playoffs at this point.
They can decide whether they want to give us this year or next year's pick, right? Next year's pick would be unprotected, though.
Fully unprotected.
So
no condom.
I don't know that they want to do that. So I'm intrigued to see what's going to happen. I would imagine they're going to give it to us this year, but they have the option to decide for next year.
And the Rangers are an organization that historically they do things that make you question what their sanity level is. Because you would think that why would they do that? But they could also, but maybe they are better next year. They do have Shesterkin. I don't know. I just see an old team that looks like they're falling apart at the seams. Like all their old leadership with like Chris Kreider.
Yeah.
They already got rid of Trouba, and Mika Zibanejad is it seems like he's 1 foot out the door.
Where's Waldo?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good in New York. I mean, the only reason they're still as half decent as they are is because they have Igor Shesterkin.
And now, too, in the play, and for the sake of just wondering where this pick's going to end up,
yep.
They're currently, all three of these teams are at 77 games played, and four of these teams, 77 games played and 79 points just in the Eastern Conference. Rangers, Islanders, Detroit, and Columbus.
Wow.
Exactly 77 and 79.
Wow. That's not good. We need to lose and they need to win.
We only have 3 games left.
They need to lose and they need to win and we need to lose.
Well, we'd like to see the Rangers lose, I think. Because I would really be curious. Would they want to just give us the top 10 pick this year? Or would they keep, if like say that pick does fall into the top 10?
I think that they're, no matter what, they're going to give us this year's pick. I don't think they want to take a chance. Because like I said,
I think that's what we would do.
Yeah, but again, like a competent organization would very likely take this year's pick, give it over an unprotected pick next year, because next year's draft class is really deep and it's a top 10 not protected pick. So like the top 10 in next year's class is going to be a lot better than this year's class, from what I've heard. So, I just don't think you take that risk.
I don't think that they should either. But we're also not the Rangers. Don't know what's going on in their mind, what they think. We don't know what they're going to do this offseason either.
Right.
That could completely impact whether they are the one of the better teams if they improve or if they continue to decline. They do have the money and the cap.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to have the cap.
Everybody's going to have some extra cap to work with. So, I mean, they could very well turn it around, but I don't know if I want to take that risk, man, if I'm them.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll get back to some more tragic freaking tales of maybe the worst stretch of PR, worst public relations bit I've ever
more sad
seen.
Vibes. Yeah.
This Pirates team, there's already sell the team chants going on at the first game and more games. They remove Clemente's number from the outfield wall. From the Clemente wall to put a Surfside can advertisement up there.
for alcohol money, basically.
And
call it like it is. They wanted sponsorship money instead of commemorating a legend of the franchise.
We'll say though, if but it's just this whole stretch here. So you have that. Because, like, in the grand scheme of things, there's a lot of Clemente things in the ballpark already. Maybe, you know, if they were trying and winning and put money into the team, it wouldn't have been at the surface. They wouldn't have cared, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think I would have cared if they had tried
right
to do anything. Then they also proceeded to, there's bricks outside the stadium. They removed those.
Yeah.
That fans have purchased over the years.
Yeah, and then didn't explain where they were, didn't give reason why they did it.
They said they didn't know, but they knew. They sent it to a dump in Reserve Township, according to CBS, KDKA News. Like, if they signed a guy to a 2-year deal that maybe half the people in the area know, I don't think we're at this point. But sell the team.
Yeah. I mean,
sell the team.
It's time. Oh my goodness. It's time to just sell the team. It really is. Like, you're only in it for the money. You're not in it to try to make a good team. You're not in it to try to help win a World Series. You're not in it for the right reasons, man. There's zero need for it anymore. Just, we can move on. Like, the entire city wants something different now than this ownership. It's beyond time to happen. Like, we've seen one playoff game in 30 years.
One playoff series.
Yeah, sorry.
One actual playoff series.
Yeah. It's not acceptable. I mean,
not for this area. Not for us.
I don't know, like,
because right, you see my optimism with the Penguins, like just, you know, you could hit rewind and find out if you really want, like, on the show right now.
It's
utterly hopeless because the guy doesn't care and he thinks he's giving them the actual best resources to win.
Oh no,
you're just lying to us.
Yeah, that's just his PR cover. We all know he's
flat out just lying at this point, and I'm really gonna have a hard time justifying, like, spending my own money to buy Pirate tickets.
As long as
he's the owner, if he starts to show some actual competent signs of real spending and real commitment to winning, I could change my tune. But this guy has given us absolutely no reason to do that. So I
think I've paid for tickets like twice to go to a Pirates game.
Ever?
Ever in my life.
So you're doing your part.
Yeah. One time it was like I decided I was with my buddy and we wanted to sit in good seats. So we sat on like the third baseline, a few rows back off the third baseline. I can't remember how much I spent, but it wasn't that much. So it's like, well, whatever. I'll spend $50 or $100 or whatever it was.
And that's the shame, too. Like, it should be, like, it could easily be a very just, like, it's something that you could just continue to grow through generations. Well, like, baseball's meant to do that. And
the worst part of it, too, is, like, you go to the ballpark just to enjoy the views and enjoy being out, I guess. But, like, you don't go there, like, to see a baseball game, like, I mean, very few people that go there are there to just sit there and watch the entire game.
Like, this is how Athletic fans have been feeling, and they don't even go to the games in Sacramento because they're not going to see that owner's team and they're fans of the team.
Yeah, and I don't think we're too far away. Like, if they're not good at the end of this year, if they don't make the Wild, if they don't make, what is it, I guess the first round after the Wild Card, I don't know. But, like, if they don't make it to at least that, or, you know, get a bye and get into that round, like, I think you're going to start to see that. Not that it already hasn't. I think they had 4,000 people in the stadium last night or something like that I saw.
The paid attendance was 8,000-something, but I think they, you know, I think it might be some people that are actually paid to be there, like some actual Aramark employees.
I think Monday was 8,000 and yesterday was 4,000. I think that's what I saw.
But you could also just be spreading misinformation.
I'm 99% certain that that is what I saw.
That being said, you know, they did win a series against the Cardinals. So maybe they, I don't see any way they do.
The Cardinals are equally as bad as them, so.
They were better last year.
They're 4-7 right now, and we are 5-7, so. Or 5-8, actually.
Yes, that is correct.
They're 4-7. So, no.
Yeah, bro.
We're at, it's just, like I said, maybe come next year, if we don't see any sort of playoffs, maybe you'll see nobody at games anymore. But I mean, when you have, how much does that stadium hold? Do you have any idea? Around about
PNC Park?
Yes.
You're talking like 38,000, 39,000.
Right.
Probably so standing room only, you could probably pack 40 plus in there.
I think that's what it was for the wild card game.
Yeah.
It was like 40 plus.
This town will show up for baseball.
Right.
It's been proven. The town will show up for a competent team that tries and an ownership group that tries.
And even if you look at the Riverhounds, who didn't play this weekend, by the way.
Correct.
So, if you look at them, it's not the most people, but, like, soccer's not a popular sport in Pittsburgh, but they still have a rabid, loyal fan base. Like, it's...
Yeah, like you.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, if you're a professional sports team in Pittsburgh, as long as you're, like, showing commitment to trying to be good, you're going to have fan support. But the minute you stop trying to be good and stop giving people resources, that's whenever everything's going to turn on you. The city's going to start to turn on you. And I'm also going to hold the same opinion with the Steelers. I think you're going to see maybe not a dip in attendance because Yinzers are just going to continue to just buy tickets anyways. But, like,
it'll be interesting to see this summer.
I think that, like, if they don't make the playoffs this coming season.
Pirates?
No, I'm going to the Steelers now.
When did you shift to the Steelers?
Well, you brought the Steelers up, so.
When did I bring the Steelers up?
Just a second ago.
I don't even recall doing that. I don't think I did that.
You brought up
rewind it on your podcast or wherever you listen to podcasts and find out if I said it or not.
But either way, like I if they don't make the playoffs, I think like there's gonna have to be, if there's no change, then fans are gonna start like holding ownership accountable and like really getting onto him.
Okay, so there's
same thing is
the hot take is, there.
I mean, like again, like yeah, okay. You've gone out and you've but like all you've really done is bring in just a bunch of older guys on 1 year deals, basically. You drafted Joey Porter Jr. Who's the other? Is there any other? There's a couple of offensive guards.
But speaking of Steelers, though, we are at the night. If you're gonna just car crash on me like that into a new segue here,
might as well.
Yeah, this is the night that you said Pat McAfee is gonna bring on Aaron Rodgers.
We gotta wrap this up soon so I can get home and watch that.
Yeah, but guess what? He already said on Ben Roethlisberger's podcast he ain't.
But guess what? Mike Tomlin is supposedly going to be a guest tonight, so...
And guess what?
What a good time for him to go, yeah, my quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers ends up walking out on stage. Because as I told you, as a person who has a show, why would I come out and be like, oh, yeah, one of my surprise guests at my live show tonight is going to be Aaron Rodgers? Why would you not come out and at least try to give it like the good old PR cover up?
Try to do the element of surprise.
Yeah, and just try to keep it. Like, no, yeah, no, no. Because
the Steelers don't want him to announce it at that time. They want him to announce it at X time, whenever that might be in a couple hours.
But that's why Mike Tomlin's there. Mike Tomlin, they'll talk to Mike Tomlin, and he'll say something about, oh, yeah, our new quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, and then he'll walk out in a Aaron Rodgers 12 jersey. Or I guess it won't be 12, but whatever number he'll wear.
I think I'd off myself if that happened.
How much?
I'm not going to. But just to see, like, that'd be so pathetic, I think. And the one thing I want to stick with that I don't think it happens is because the draft hasn't happened yet and OTAs haven't happened
I've heard
yet.
That there's a lot of people that think that he's going to wait until after OTAs or whatever. But I mean, he's pretty much out of options. If he waits much longer, teams are going to just go to the draft and maybe just be, okay, well, fuck you. We're good here. We're good with what
well, there's
we're...
not that many great quarterbacks in the draft. Though, remember when I brought up Shedeur Sanders as a remote possibility, and now it's all of a sudden
I did hear that
starting a trend?
He's coming in for a workout or a visit or something like that. Man, ugh, God, please don't.
I'd almost rather see Shedeur.
I would rather not.
There's at least upside.
I mean, maybe, but like... I mean, I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers would be good, okay? I'm just saying
I'd rather have Arch Manning next year.
I was going to say, I just think Shadur's going to end up being an AB.
I don't think so. I don't think he's going to be like... I mean, if they do the Aaron Rodgers thing, that's already going to be like AB.
I mean,
that's going to be comically like AB.
But it's 1 year.
For a one-year deal.
As compared to
what if they get both?
We're trying to, I mean, whatever. But
just
like,
bring all the drama.
Well, and I've heard that some people, not with the Steelers, I don't think, but I think in a couple other places that Aaron was originally tied to, they were talking about, like, you know, a team drafting Shedeur and then signing Aaron and having him play in front of Shedeur and teach Shedeur, kind of like Brett Favre did with Aaron. So, I don't know. Just giving you different ideas to think about. A little food for thought.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm very much... I just want the draft to be here, man. I really want to get that.
Yeah, I can't wait for the NHL draft, yeah.
I can't wait for all these drafts. I love drafts.
That you do.
Not you. Like, you know, war drafts, but like... Yeah,
war
draft, sports drafts.
War drafts don't like me, so.
You're safe. Yeah. You're safe from war drafts.
Indeed.
I think I got a different way we're going to wrap up this show tonight, because.
Oh, God.
We got to pay some respects to him. But first, to let you listeners know, we might go on a little bit of a break here after our 87th episode of Yin Center. We're going to move on. We're going to find a little new home here to kind of settle down. Maybe the new home could be wherever you, the listener, are. If you, hey, who knows? But we're going to say so long to the local 724 studio podcast studio.
We're damn near year two here, huh?
Yeah, it's been a solid 2 years, but it's time to find a little bit of new direction.
Yeah,
as absolutely. We begin to kind of see where we can kind of grow from here.
Yeah, hey, why not? We're still feeling it every week, so let's just try to keep on moving up and keep making moves for ourselves. So I don't think that's coming through. Oh, all right. Well, see, now I just am over it because it's Ovi. So, like, I was okay with it, but now I'm just done. Good good show. We'll see you guys next week.
He's out of here. Hey, well, congrats to the new NHL leading goal scorer of all time.
It may not be a week. It may be a little bit longer, but we'll see you guys soon. All these jeans popping pussy. I'm just popping bang. Bands are make a day.